Cape Talk. A worldview from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Worldview is brought to you by 91. Isn't it time to change how you see investing? Visit 91.com for more. Adam Gilchrist, good morning, good sir. How are you doing this morning?
Morning, Rafael. I think we're going to go 9 out of 10. It's a Friday, after all. Why not?
Wonderful. All righty. An EU welcome in more ways than one. And so far, it has been mostly from a refugee perspective, but membership path is opening up for Ukraine and also Moldova. Right?
Yes, absolutely. Ukraine and Moldova both given, as they put it, EU candidate status, although Georgia, which is another former Soviet republic, has been waiting a little while for that and hasn't yet got it, but it's sort of in the mix and indeed was mentioned specifically by the European Council's Charles Michel as those three being sort of on the brink. But the trouble is, on the brink in EU terms, and we know this in the UK from bitter experience, it can take blooming ages. So on the one hand, an historic moment, it's absolutely indicating that Ukraine, Moldova, and ultimately Georgia will all be EU-leaning, West-leaning, rather than Russia-leaning. But at the same time, this could take years. And indeed, I think the next key meeting is not for another 5 or 6 months. And so this doesn't happen anytime soon. The other thing is although terribly important, I'm sure, particularly from Ukraine and Moldova's perspective, it doesn't necessarily automatically mean security, defense, protection. It's not quite like being, say, a member of NATO or something, because there's no, I think, immediate charter that says if an EU country is attacked, then we're all in it together. But it's sort of...
It's more movement, yeah.
That's the direction, exactly that.
Okay, sounds interesting. The United States Supreme Court has actually not doing well this year, from Roe v. Wade to they've now expanded the rights to carry guns publicly. Interestingly, striking down the law from New York, which is one of the strictest sort of gun law states.
Yeah, New York and Connecticut alongside. Of course, Sandy Hook is the school where all those poor children were shot in Connecticut, just next door to New York. So that part of America, although, of course, originally was absolutely the place where you'd want to bear arms because it was where they were, you know, fighting for independence against the British, unlike, say, Wyoming or Colorado or Texas. But those two states particularly did have some more restrictive gun laws. And I couldn't believe it. I saw the headline. I thought, oh, good. Supreme Court has actually decided to put... No, hang on. They've gone the other way. So rather than putting in something new, they've taken out, or effectively overturned, something already existing to restrict the way in which guns can be carried. So what they're saying is there is a public right to carry guns, and that will be reinstated in those two states, New York and New Jersey in particular. I think California is another one also that had some more, as we might put it, liberal gun laws in the sense of being tighter against guns. It is, of course, essentially still Donald Trump's Supreme Court and probably will be that for another decade. But still, you keep wondering, you scratch your heads and think, these are learned, wise people who've been sitting in judgment of all sorts of things for a while.
I watched Rick Kavanaugh's hearings, his confirmation hearings, top to bottom. I watched a little bit of Amy Coney Barrett. Wise. Barrett, witches. What's happening in Scotland, and how are we still holding women guilty of being witches in 2022?
Well, when we're not in most parts of the world, I suspect there are still one or two parts of the world where they have some rather archaic laws. But do you know what? If America can insist on the right to carry guns, they can probably still insist on the Witchcraft Act of 1735. After all, they weren't independent at that stage. So I wonder if the United States still thinks that witchcraft is a thing. Certainly in Scotland, a Scottish MP, a member of the Scottish Parliament called Natalie Don, has begun the process. And this will be quicker than joining the EU, but still, she's begun the process of getting a private member's bill to pardon all those convicted of witchcraft. In the main, we're talking 300 years ago, 350 years ago, something like that. Although it begins in the 16th century when King James V pointed the finger at his sister and had her tortured for evidence of witchcraft. The famous Bowness witches, when six of them were put to death, they were strangled at the stake before they were burned because they had danced and fornicated with the devil. There are any number of other individual cases, but intriguingly, one of them dates back only to the 1940s, when Helen Duncan was actually prosecuted under the Witchcraft Act, albeit what they found her guilty of was revealing secrets of war. She revealed that a ship had been sunk and nobody was meant to have known that. But anyway, the witchcraft thing has sort of stalked and haunted for quite some time. And what the MP is saying, and Natalie Don, is that for goodness sake, 300 years on, there are 4,000 convicted witches in history. It's time for a posthumous pardon. But as I say, it's probably still law in parts of America.
Possibly so. The Salem witch trials, right? Adam, have a wonderful weekend. You're sounding absolutely tip-top, 9 out of 10 for your Friday. Thank you so much for that worldview.
Cheerio. Thank you.